Okay, let's move on now to Skywish, who is going to do a monologue from When It Rains Gasoline.
Sometimes I just wish the world was full of pink bunny rabbits. There would be a beautiful, lush forest, green grass, a sparkling brook, and it would always be warm. And all that would live there would be pink bunny rabbits. Hundreds of pink bunny rabbits. They would eat the grass and the leaves, and there wouldn't be any wolves to hurt them. Every rabbit's mom and dad would love them, no matter what. And all the rabbits would be in love. They would all have the perfect mate that would never, ever hurt them in any way. They would all be able to trust each other, and I know that if something bad happened, no one would run away. I know it's a weird dream, but I've heard weirder. My boyfriend used to tell me how cool it would be if there were one-way mirrors into the girls' locker room. That's kind of strange. But then again, he is a guy. I had another friend who thought that rocks were alive, and that if you touched them, the grease on your fingers would kill them. That's a little weirder. Someone once told me that he had a premonition that one day we would all have flying waffles for cars. That almost takes the cake for weirdness. No. I'll tell you the weirdest thing I've ever heard was when my doctor told me I was pregnant. There's no doubt that is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. I never knew a 15-year-old girl would, like... Well, I suppose I've heard about it happening. I guess I never thought it would happen to me. I just wish the world were full of pink bunny rabbits.
Skywish, I really love the way you started this monologue. The enthusiasm you have, the giggling, the way you're selling this fantasy about pink bunny rabbits and all on how everything is nice and nobody ever gets hurt and no one is offended by offensive to anybody. It's just really wonderful. When you get into the other odd things you've heard, there is more room that you did not take advantage of for variation. For example, when you're talking about the one-way mirrors, I can't believe that you would be quite as amused by that as you are about this happy, happy pink bunny land. I would think at least that if a guy, the prospect that that your boyfriend wants to look not only at you naked, but at all the other girls naked, is not something that's going to make you happy. But the tone really needs to change when you get to talking about being pregnant. Because, and I think this is the point of the monologue, this is not a happy moment for you. For generally for 15-year-olds, finding out you're suddenly pregnant is not a happy moment. So using the same tone hurts that. And that is why it ends with the "I wish it the world were full of pink bunny rabbits," because that's a wistfulness. And if you've gone through the pain that you could convey in the bit about the pregnancy, repeating your first line in a completely different tone really drives home the point of the monologue. But overall, I think you did a very admirable start. There's more to grow, but a good start. Meredy?
I'm going to sound like an asshole, but I actually have to disagree a little in that I felt like the beginning, it just felt superficial to me. I listened to it, and maybe it's because that we heard this monologue already in a sample audition in the next best thing, but it just sounded like an anime character to me, because she sounded too happy. She sounded so animated, I saw the anime character talking to the person watching the show, or to her best friend in school. Which, I mean, in some respects, that's great. That you did a very good job of conveying a character. But it was too much for me. And as you went along, I got used to it, and it started sounding a little more natural. But then the same thing as Russ mentioned, it's just, it was all kind of one emotion across the board, and it really could have hit home a lot harder at the end if you had switched some emotional expression up a bit and really driven home, you know, this 15-year-old girl is pregnant. But yeah, otherwise, I agree with what you said and all the different things that could have been tried, and that it does have a good start. You've got really great clarity, and I love your voice. So that said, I think that's it for me.
Okay. We're going to go next to listen to Sukono, who is going to do a monologue from Group Therapy and the Undead.
Okay, let's see. You know, there is a lot of pressure on vampires these days. I mean, the media's built us up to be monsters. Okay, if your definition of a monster is someone who sucks other people's blood, alright, you got me there. But do you know the kind of peer pressure that's within this culture of vampires? I mean, give me a break! Gloom and doom and blackened cobwebs and coffins all over the place. That is just not for me. All that gothic stuff, come on! All those other vampires are saying stuff like, James, vampires don't wear pastels, or James, vampires don't hold day jobs as hairdressers. I don't even know what they're talking about. I mean, they didn't even want me to keep my kitten. They said a vampire with a cat named Snookums just doesn't strike terror into the hearts of mortals. I don't get it. These people are going to live forever, and do you know how they party? They sit around and complain about garlic and crosses and steaks. They don't talk about politics. They don't talk about human rights violations. They don't talk about endangered species. They don't talk about anything that's important. They think it's fun to talk about fangs and how fast they can turn into bats. Bats! Did you know that bats have fleas? Oh, and this whole seductive thing? People think that kind of thing is cool. You know what happens when you hypnotize people? They're no fun to talk to anymore. They're like zombies. And the tempers those people have? My God, you'd think people are going to live forever wouldn't get so stressed out. I mean, they'll blow up at just about anything. If the pizza boy puts anchovies in the pizza, and they didn't order anchovies, they'll put the pizza boy on the pizza. If someone sneezes the wrong way, they go berserk like a rabid dog or something. Most of them seriously need to deal with their anger management issues. I tell ya, a lot of people think being a vampire's cool. It's not. Being a vampire sucks.
Alright, Sukono. Am I saying that right? Sukono?
That's why I've always said it.
Cool.
Oh, that's right.
Alright. Yeah, 1 point for me. Fun monologue. This was interesting to listen to. I liked hearing the other side of the vampire opinion and personality. I think you've got a good start here. You've got a lot you can do with it. I think mostly it's just you've got the basis. Now give it more conviction. Believe more of what you're saying. I hear a lot of expression about what this particular vampire gets annoyed at by the other members of his group. But you're starting to do a repeating vocal pattern where you go da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Da, 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 da. And you can change things up a bit. Like, commit more to one annoyance than the other. Something really bugs you as opposed to some other little side thing that's just, you know, whatever. It just adds fuel to the fire. Just more conviction and just really get into it. Sometimes you do. I noticed a few points near the end where you really started to get into some of the contradictions or bizarreness of vampire behavior, and it was nice. You can just do so much more with it. Russ?
I thought the deadpan aspect of this thing works so well. I was laughing. I thought your timing was very good. The personality was very clear. I thought you had very good variation, energy, and pace. Yes, there are places you could do more. You could really break things up a little bit by focusing on one particular thing. This is out of crazy. Just to give a little bit of more variation. But I was not bored with this thing at all. It was amusing. It was, overall, I thought very well done. I don't really have a lot of complaints. Anything else
to add? You're just trying to make me look like the bad guy, aren't you?
I'm sorry.
I know what you're up to. Thanks, Russ. Thanks a lot.
I just had a good time listening to this one.
All right, what's next?
Okay, next we have Zane, who is going to do a monologue that we heard in the first episode from Tommy Boy.
Dude, you'll never believe what happened to me today. It all started when I woke up this morning. You know, usually I press the snooze button about 4 or 5 times, but today was different. When I heard the alarm, I just sprang out of bed and said to myself, "Today is going to be a great day!" I don't know why I said it, but I was feeling great. I got in the shower and found myself humming a cool song I heard the day before. While I was combing my hair in the mirror, I noticed that not only was it a great hair day, but my skin seemed different too. Alive and glowing. And no, it wasn't the new acne cream I've been using. It was life! So instead of dragging around, I threw on my clothes and headed out. When I got on the bus, the girls seemed to look at me differently. I thought maybe it was my confidence or the hair. But then I thought, who the heck cares? They were looking at me. So I looked back at them and they giggled. I was on top of the world. I went and got a seat in the back of the bus. Then it came to me. I had a presentation due in first period. I wasn't about to let that ruin my day. I knew the material, and I was on a roll! A few moments later, walking down the hallway, it was like a movie. Almost every group of girls turned to look at me. It started to become really spooky, actually. My next thought was, with my luck, I should be playing the lottery! I got to my first period class and sat down. It's almost like I could feel Jamie, that high as is behind me in class, staring at the back of my head. It felt great! And of course, I was called first to read my presentation to the class. So I strolled up to the front of the room with a gleaming smile. I actually winked at this girl who snickered at me in the front row. Man, was I getting bold! I couldn't help myself though. This never happened to me before. It was like a dream. And right when I was getting ready to start my presentation, the teacher called me aside. I thought I'd gone too far with the winking, but decided not to lose my cool and casually stroll over to her to receive her reprimand. Dude, when she started talking to me, my stomach dropped to my feet like I was on a fast roller coaster ride, and I could feel my face turning as white as a ghost. It was like the whole day flashed before my eyes. Well, I thanked the teacher anyway, turned away from the class, swallowed my pride, and zipped up my fly.
Zane, I liked the energy you had. You had a great amount of enthusiasm for this. You were really energetic throughout the whole thing. Your diction could use a little bit of work. There's a few places where I lost some of the words, and you need to be careful. I love some of the things you did. For example, the looking at me, the gleefulness was really precious. But you didn't always pick quite the right feeling on things. For example, when you talked about I had a presentation, you just really realized that. You were still showing the happy, happy, happy. And for something like that, it probably would have been better to show some distress a little bit. There are a few places where you pause oddly, such as you go, my stomach fell to my feet. There's no reason to break there. It works better if you make it all one thing. Then when you get to the ending, you change your emotion, which is good. You don't go quite as far with it, I think, as you could. This is especially you've been all up, very excited, and then you get told why everyone was actually looking at you And this is a massively sinking feeling, and we should start to hear it in your voice, even though we don't know why. And that is going to set up the last line, and because it is such a punchline, you can emphasize that more by pausing just before you say it. So you're saying it, you know, I was feeling, when I told the, when I faced the class, pause, pause, while the tension builds in the heat in listeners, and then you deliver that last line, and then you should get a laugh if you do that properly. What do you think, Meredy?
I think, I agree on most points. Certainly the clarity in diction, because it's a fun monologue to listen to. It's just a few words ended up being dropped or just kind of muddled together. I couldn't really make out what was being said. But on the whole, it was understandable. Again, the pauses are the thing I think I noticed the most. It felt like at those particular places where you paused awkwardly, it felt like you were stopping to read the next portion of the script.
Or running out of breath.
Yeah, or running out of breath, given all the energy that goes into this one. I like the a little like change of into embarrassment that you had at the end. I thought that set up well, and I liked how it just kind of built a little bit by the end of the monologue. I don't know, and this is maybe sounds like an odd comment, but I like your expression, but sometimes I don't know who you're talking to, and that is probably a cause caused by the pauses. But sometimes, like, I don't feel like you're talking to me. Maybe you're talking to a friend, and I'm listening to a conversation, and I don't know if that's. I think that may just be me. I don't know if that's something that can be easily changed. I think it was just my personal interpretation. So Russ can cut out that comment if he wants to.
I'm not cutting anything out.
Yeah. What?
I'm not cutting anything out.
Well, then I'm going to take the time to say, ultimately, the biggest thing that I had a problem with was Zane made me cry. Because the email he sent had these words exactly, and this is all of a sudden his email was, "Here you go, Russ. Hope you enjoy."
Oh.
I was all looked out.
Wait a minute. This was not just to Russ.
It was... I mean, nobody knows I exist on this show. It made me so sad.
You need to start hanging around the group more.
But well, Russ, maybe you... Maybe if I'm not doing four audio dramas at once, then maybe I'd be able to.
The rest of you, start paying attention. Meredy is half of this team.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you.
And we're done. And we're going to move on to our next entry from, I have no idea how to pronounce this. I'm going to guess Nodraj, and you can correct me if I have completely destroyed it. I also have no idea what your monologue is from, but we're going to go listen to it now.
So, this is it, Samuel. All this time we've worked together, and you're just going to stab me in the back. I don't think it's fair of you. Just act like you're not doing anything wrong. Look me in the eyes. Tell me that this is okay. This was part of the plan from the beginning. If I understood I was only a pawn, I wouldn't care. Ostracize me. Treat me like I am the new villain you need to face. It's not fair. I trained you. I showed you how to use your powers. And this. This is how you repay me. This is not how you repay your debt to a master. This is nothing more than betrayal. I don't understand how you can do this so easily. And even with a smile on your face. You are truly a monster. Samuel, you... monster.
No, Draj. Draj. Draws. What a fun voice. I don't know, but I love listening to it. It actually, your voice reminds me of Ludlow from The Witch Hunter Chronicles, which is a plug, is a show that we just did, we just featured on Midnight Audio Theater. It's a good audio drama, but it's very, I got the age in your voice and I got the feel for the character. It was very nice. The monologue, unfortunately, was 1 minute and 11 seconds. So it was a bit short. I believe it's a bit too short. And there was a bit of dead time when you had your death scene. I liked the content of the monologue. It was a fun reflection of that character. I think you could have built out a little more emotion in some places, really show some fury at this person that you're talking to. I would stay away from doing monologues that have death scenes in the future, just because a lot of times they don't come across or it disrupts the flow of the monologue. Unless it's a monologue being given while you're dying. Russ, what do you have to add?
Well, I thought you had a perfect voice for this monologue. Mm-hmm. For the character and the, you know, I'm the master and who are you betraying me. I wasn't sure what you were. I had for this idea. Did he say he was a vampire or am I just imagining that?
I don't know.
Couldn't be a vampire if he's just being stabbed, I guess.
No. I immediately connected with the character I've just mentioned. So it was like, right. I don't know.
I thought your first part, you just blew through the lines. There, you could have taken some pauses in there to emphasize. You could have given us a bit more of the variations. It especially troubles me that you're going on this, and then all of a sudden I've been killed. It's like, hello, where'd that come from? Didn't you see the knife coming towards you? Didn't you notice he was about to kill you? Because there was no change whatsoever in your voice. And I couldn't tell what your purpose was there. You just say, I'm betrayed. Are you trying to change his mind? Are you trying to impress him with how impassively you can die? It might be more interesting if you did something other than, I'm angry at you because you're betraying me, and how could you do this? Oh, wow, you actually killed me. Oh, my God, I'm dead now. I couldn't tell what you were doing other than, I'm betrayed, and now I'm dying.
Well, I think he was trying to go for he mentioned that this was, I think it was just a student. So he was going on the old master full of disappointment, trying to talk and reason to the student who ends up not listening. And
yeah, I didn't hear the reasoning. I didn't hear, especially, you know, there might have been some change when he sees it's not working and the knife is actually coming to him, but it's like he had his eyes. I don't know. Maybe had your back to him the whole time, so you couldn't see that he was doing it, and you were just for some reason trying to convince him while talking to the wall.
I think maybe it came out of a video game. In which case it would have like a cutscene.
Oh,
and then it would have the death and, you know, something like that.
Okay, I love the voice. I love the character. I'm not crazy about the monologue itself.
Mm.